It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into this week's episode of the Dublin to Denver podcast on the Mile High Report podcast network. My name is Michael McQuaid, joined with Colin Cronin and joined also by Stuart Roche after the Broncos lads get a win in the first game in MetLife Stadium against the New York Giants, 27-13 victory. Great start to the season, and I guess the first time in a long time the show, you know, it's positive. We're out there and we've won a game, boys. We've won the first game of the season in September. And yeah, Colin, welcome in.
Yeah, it's nice to be celebrating an opening day win. Obviously hadn't happened previously under Vic Fangio. A September win hadn't happened under Vic Fangio. So to get the win, and look, I think it's a win that was even more comprehensive than the scoreline suggests. It was entirely the Broncos. Realistically, the Giants were never in that game. And yeah, for us, plenty of positives and lots to kind of digest over the next few minutes before we look ahead to the Jags.
Stuart, you must have been a happy man. Football back for the Broncos after not just 7 months, but 9 months, and to get the win in boot as well.
Yeah, good performance, Mick. You know, I think Colin touched on it last week where he said that it was a good time to play the Giants, and I think it was. You know, I mean, I think by some distance, their two best players are Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley. Barkley was miles away from being properly fit, and Evan Engram was injured. So, you know, our task was made easier. But the old adage is you can only beat what's in front of you. I disagree with Colin to an extent. I think that game was a lot closer than it ended up being, because I think if you remember, it was 17-10 in the third quarter and the Giants were driving and they'd gotten quite close to our red zone when Daniel Jones did what Daniel Jones is prone to do. And he fumbled at a critical moment. And then I think the Broncos pulled away and were quite comfortable. But yeah, no, I mean, it was interesting to see. I think, for me, my fear was that Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur and Teddy Bridgewater were going to be deathly dull. And to be fair, it wasn't dull in any way, shape or form. I think it looked like three guys, particularly Vic Fangio, who kind of realised that his seat is already warm. And to be fair to him, he doesn't seem like he's going to die wondering. You know, he's going for it and fourth down. He's airing it out. You know, he's really going for it. He's gambling. I mean, you know, it was great to see. I think we all thought, hey, that was something that he was doing in the preseason because it was the preseason, but he continued it on during the other day. So, listen, you know, exciting football and controlling the game with the offense was something that we have not had for a long time. And to be fair, what you did see was a pretty talented Giants defense being absolutely gassed by the time they got towards the end of the third quarter, which is something that I think we know as Broncos fan quite well for the last couple of seasons. We're a very talented defense, no matter how good they are. If they're on the field constantly, they get wrecked and they start to miss tackles and miss assignments and stuff like that. You saw that with the Giants. So yeah, so it was a really excellent example of the tables being turned. We did to the Giants what teams have been doing to us. So, you know, long may it continue.
Colin, one of the things that stood out for me, man, was the fact Steady Teddy Bridgewater comes in, 200 odd yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. The offense just seemed to, I guess, go up a gear with him at quarterback. And I'll hold my hands up. I wanted Drew Lock to start. Teddy Bridgewater looked good. He looked like he'd been there for a few years, Colin.
Yeah, he did. He did all of the things that they wanted him to do. There were, you know, I suppose last year, Locke particularly struggled with pressure in his face, and Teddy managed to deal with that this weekend. He will face better pass rushes undoubtedly, but he did, you know, when it really mattered, he, you know, was, you know, careful with the football. He dealt with it under pressure. And when it came to those fourth down, you know, conversions, he was three for three. And I mean, that going for that four down, what was interesting was that was something we saw right across the league, more so on Sunday than we had ever seen previously. So I think for Teddy, you know, you have to say he did everything that had really been asked of him on Sunday. He will face tougher tests, though, not in the next couple of weeks, I don't think. But later in the season, absolutely. But it's nice, I suppose, to be coming out of a game and just be saying, yeah, the QB did what we needed him to do in this particular game. And, you know, he spread it around as well. Even when, you know, Judy went off with the injury of it, and he hasn't gone to IR, which is nice, but the passes were spread out. And if KJ hadn't had that drop, you know, Teddy's stats would have probably been even more impressive.
If KJ didn't have that drop, boys, like, it would have been over 300 yards. It would have been as good as Tom Brady against the Cowboys the other night, actually. Stuart, staying on that drop, like, that's the only real negative from that game, and also the whole Judy situation. Are you as relieved as we are that this Judy situation can only be 3 to 4 weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the very optimistic version of it, Michael. I'd be surprised if you see him any sooner than 6 weeks, to be honest with you. I mean, I think unless something has changed dramatically today, I think 3 to 4 weeks for a high ankle sprain seems like you're risking the guy re-injuring it, because I think that's always been a problem with high ankle sprains. So I would give him as long as you can, because, you know, like at one stage on Sunday evening, you know, it looked like Jerry Jeudy was gone until 2022. So I think, you know, the fact that we even get him back in six games time is an excellent result. You know, the thing with the drop, that's the one criticism. I think the only criticism really you could have for Teddy was that he didn't hit Hamler in stride. Hamler had to adjust and kind of turn back a little bit to try and take it in. He should have still caught it, but, you know, a Josh Allen or somebody like that would have hit Hamler in stride. That's maybe a little bit of the lack of arms talent that Teddy might have. But I think he compensated with that with some sensational decision-making and also some, you know, borderline miracle plays. You know, the touchdown to Abadou was outrageous, really. I do think a part of that was the fact the Giants' defense was gassed at that stage, and they were, you know, normally Teddy would have hit the deck a lot sooner. But still, you know, the guy couldn't have done much more. You know, I was with you. I wanted Locke to start. I would be a Teddy skeptic. I'm still keeping my sort of counsel on that one for a while. We've seen this before. You know, what typically the Broncos have attempted to do now is get carried away and, you know, give Teddy a 4-year contract after week three when hopefully we rinse the Jets. Let's not do that. Let's remember we also saw something, you know, similar from the likes of Trevor Siemian early in the season. That didn't work out too well. But I think, you know, look, Teddy, and I think one thing that's fair, because I've been a little bit negative about Teddy, and I think I'd like to sort of point it out, you cannot help but root for the guy, because he just comes across as a really good dude. Do you know what I mean? And people seem to react very positively to him. There's been quarterbacks that we've had as rethreads over the last year. You know, the most recent one, I think, the ex-Baltimore Raven. Who didn't come across as a particularly good dude and was very hard to root for, in my opinion. Teddy is not like that to me. I think, you know, hey, I wanted Locke to start, but I'm not sort of big enough to kind of go, you know what, if Teddy does well and continues to play like he does, brilliant. Fair play to the guy. It's a great story. So, yeah, look, you know, the guy's done everything he could have asked. Let's see if it continues. Hopefully it will.
And just on that, I think what was interesting was the fact that Teddy gave the pre-game team talk, which seems to have gone over pretty well. There's also a couple of clips that really stood out to me. Teddy with the entire going around the entirety of the O-line. I thought that was really important. You know, it's so important that the O-line kind of are with the QB. And I think the Giants have all sorts of problems with Daniel Jones. But the fact that, you know, when Simmons kind of accidentally caught him, his O-line were straight over there. That's the type of stuff you want to see. And you heard Stink on the broadcast talk about that. But I thought Teddy going around to all the guys was good. But also, look, we know Vaughn is a cheerleader in the body of an elite athlete. And he does a great job of bigging up all his teammates. No matter who's under center, Vaughn is going to big him up. But on the sideline, if maybe listeners have already seen it, but there's a great video of Vaughn talking to Teddy. So it's not in front of the media. And he just tells Teddy that he's doing a great job and to keep it up. And that's the type of thing that's good to see. You know, we roll into Jacksonville, I think full of confidence for the next game, which, you know, there haven't been too many games in recent years where we've gone in going, yeah, I think we can, you know, we're capable, as long as we show up, as long as we don't underestimate them, of putting on a real performance.
Yeah, and I haven't felt as confident or as expecting about a Broncos game in a long time. I think you have that first week jitters against the Giants, and then you see what the guys can do. And I completely agree with you in regards to Teddy Bridgewater. He just looks so settled, but also the confidence the team has around him. And to see Von Miller doing that at the weekend was fantastic. Look, I think we need to stay on the offensive side of the ball for a second, sure, before we go to the Jaguars game. Melvin Gordon, 100 yards, 9.2 average, one touchdown. This team has got a good core now with Melvin Gordon, as much as I miss Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, though to me, Michael, I would say, now in fairness, a lot of it was due to the fact that we got Teddy to throw the ball an awful lot. I didn't think we didn't run the ball particularly well on Sunday. I think the Melvin Gordon long touchdown run at the end skewed the stats very much. So up to that point, I think Melvin had about 25 yards rushing. Look, he's been great in training camp. He is a fine running back. I think he's always going to be sort of associated with the guy who kind of inadvertently forced Phil out the door, which is unfortunate because he's a damn fine player. Javonte Williams had a decent NFL debut. He's a good player. I mean, this is nitpicking, though, in fairness for me. You know, I think we can run the ball. Look, we're going to be running the ball down Jacksonville's throat. We don't need to throw it as much as we did the other night because we can put up yardage against Jacksonville. Jacksonville are a train wreck. I know we're going to come to that later on. I would have liked to have seen us been able to run the ball. I think some of the issues we might have had was our the one area that we struggled on the line was our interior line. I think Colin and myself were chatting during the game. Dalton Reisner had a very, very difficult evening. Graham Glasgow also had his health issues. So I think, you know, apart from that big long touchdown run that Melvin had at the very end of the game, that was an area that we didn't do particularly well in. But, you know, this is something that we can improve on. The season's very early. And in fairness, if Teddy Bridgewater is throwing the ball so well and he's got so many receivers involved, you know, the onus wasn't on running the ball. That will come in other games. You know, that's for the Steelers. That's for the Ravens, those type of games. You know, you can air it out against the Giants. As I said, they were clearly flagging and Jacksonville don't have much of a defense, so you know we can win in different ways now, which is good. I think Melvin, you know, it was nice to get that sheen at the end, but even today there was a report that there was sort of analysts were saying Javonte Williams, it won't be long before he takes Melvin Gordon's starting job. So you know, he ended up putting the flourish at the end, but you know, the NFL doesn't hang around waiting for anybody for very long. You know, it's called not for long for a reason. So Melvin is getting the plaudits on Sunday evening, but you know, according to some analysts, he may not be the starting running back for much longer. You know, I mean, you draft a running back in the second round, it's kind of obvious which way it's going. And I know Tyler Columbus, our friend from before on 103 The Fan, is he cannot state often enough that Melvin Gordon will not be on that team next year. So Javonte is clearly been brought in to take his job.
Let's see what happens. I know you boys mentioned Philip Lindsay there. Like, look, it's not the Philip Lindsay show or the Texans show, but it was great to see him get off to a good start in Houston. We wish him all the best. We wish Graham Glasgow all the best as well in that current situation. And Colin, before we look at the Jaguars, the London Jaguars, anybody else stand out for you last weekend? Von Miller with 2 sacks. Was there anybody else stand out for you on the game?
Well, Von, like, it's not just the sacks. Like, they are huge in the way in which they change games and they change momentum. So that's one aspect of it, but it's such a huge aspect of it. I mean, look, Arizona showed that, like, once you can get a couple of sacks, the opposing QBs are terrified. But with Von, he doesn't just bring sacks, he brings everything else. So it's sacks plus, because a lot of times you'll hear, oh, you can't just look at sacks if the numbers aren't good. But with Von, the numbers are good. Plus, it's the run defense that he brings with them. There was a great photograph at one point. I think I sent it to you yesterday, Michael, of two Giants players tackling each other because they had both gone for Von, and he was so quick that he'd gone through the middle of them. So it was great to see Von back, and even LeBron James was tweeting how great it was to see him back during the game.
Colm, I think as well, if you remember the very opening drive the Giants had, I can't remember, was it Fuller or Darby? One of them got burnt on a long ball from Jones down the sideline. And, you know, it looked like they could be getting a little bit of momentum. They tried an end-around that they flipped to the wide receiver coming across the middle, and Vaughn absolutely blew it up. I think he knocked him back to maybe he said a loss of 8 yards. So, incredible talent.
Looking ahead to the weekend, the Broncos going up against Jacksonville. 2 away games to start the season before a game in Denver next week. This Jaguars team, while they obviously draft Trevor Lawrence, go to Houston week 1 and get beaten by Houston, a team that has had such a rough summer. On a personal note, I was delighted to see Philip Lindsay. I actually think Tyrod Taylor deserved a chance in the league, so it was interesting to see that. But just how tides can turn, how the talk can turn about a team so quickly, lads. And now the Jaguars go into arguably a must-win game against the Broncos for them in Jacksonville. Colm, I'll start with you. You know, I've never felt as expectant or potentially as confident going into a game. I feel almost scared saying that, but this is a huge opportunity for this team this weekend.
Yeah, look, I think if the Jaguars had been playing anybody other than the Texans, they wouldn't have had that feel-good factor going into it. I think the negativity around the Texans was such that certainly I expected the Jags to win it, and probably, you know, had been kind of focusing too much on Jack Easterby and the Deshaun Watson situations, and allowing that to cloud just how bad things are at the Texans. But take Jacksonville. Like, they gave up 300 yards passing and 160 yards on the ground to the Texans. They are so bad that last night there were rumors that Urban Meyer might quit and go to USC. And people genuinely thought, yeah, that's a possibility. There are all sorts of stories coming out that he's rubbed players up the wrong way with his criticisms in the preseason, that he went over the top. Obviously, look, there was the disaster of bringing in the coach right at the beginning of his tenure, who had all sorts of issues, and that just shouldn't have happened. But they also brought in Schottenheimer from the Seahawks, who Russell Wilson wanted rid of. And you saw Russell Wilson at the weekend enjoying himself, whereas Schottenheimer's come in as the passing coordinator. He's a guy who apparently, when Trevor Lawrence was looking at colleges, he was at Georgia and said, nah, that Lawrence probably, they could wasn't, you know, going to be the prospect others thought he was. So Lawrence ends up going to Clemson. And now they have to work together. And to me, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the situation with Adam Gase last year, where he had his father-in-law and Greg Williams on the same staff, two guys involved in Bountygate. And how are you expecting those guys to work together every day? So the Jags are, you know, a franchise full of problems, and they had the Texans absolutely pull their pants down the other day. If it wasn't for the fact that they have Trevor Lawrence, that he is a generational talent at QB, or has the potential to be at least, they're really, there wouldn't be anything good to say about them. Robinson in the backfield is very talented, but they had drafted Travis Etienne to reunite him with Trevor Lawrence. So what does that say to an undrafted guy who got 1,000 yards? It's a little bit like the Philip Lindsay situation. You know, he feels hard done by, understandably. So to me, I get it. I can understand why you have those expectations. And I think as long as we show up, as long as we're professional, we should absolutely be winning this game.
You're talking about, you know, giving up yardage to the Texans. Stuart, I just think that Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams will just honestly eat this Jaguars turf up on Sunday.
Yeah, they should. I mean, I watched the highlights of the Jaguars Texan game. You know, let's caveat it with, it is early days. There are always crazy results in the opening day of the season. I didn't take my own advice, and I was forced into betting on week one, and have had absolutely catastrophic results, not from a financial point of view, but I think I got like 4 out of 9 right. So, you know, there may be a slight improvement from the Jags. Obviously, they're playing at home. There might be a reaction. There's just not a huge deal of talent there. I mean, Travis Etienne is a good player. I could see why, you know, there was the connection between him and Trevor Lawrence, who is a superb player. But like myself and Colin were chatting earlier on, you need a little bit of luck as a quarterback when you're drafted very early to as to where you end up. You know, I mean, Pat Mahomes was the exception because the Chiefs moved up so much to get him, and he landed in a really good spot. He's obviously a great player as well, but you know, the likes of David Carr ended up in terrible teams and got absolutely destroyed. You know, Zach Wilson, I think, was sacked 6 times as the most quarterback in 20 years or something like that. You know, these are good players. They're clearly good players. And yet, if you find yourself in a bad situation, it doesn't really matter how good you are. If you don't have any time to throw the ball, you're not going to be able to complete passes. So I think looking at it the other day, I was kind of going, the Jaguars have a pretty good chance of actually having the number one pick in the draft next year as well, if things keep going the way they are. And I genuinely do. And I think Houston may give them a run for their money. There's some bad teams in the NFL, but like the Jaguars look awful. And the Jaguars are so bad that they probably won't do what they need to do and draft an offensive tackle to protect the most important player. They'll probably draft another running back or a wide receiver. So, yeah, I mean, we should really be putting these guys to the sword. I mean, I think one of the things that occurred to me the other day, it looked like Vic Fangio was fully aware of the fact that he needs to go 3-0, given the running games that we have after the first three. You know, and they played like that. We played like that was week 17, and a wild card was a wild card berth was on the line. Do you know what I mean? We didn't play like it was the opening week. So I'd expect us to show that same kind of urgency. I'd expect us to be able to execute. You may get a slight reaction, as I said, from the Jaguars. They may not be as bad as they were against the Texans, but I would still expect the Broncos to be winning this game by 10 points and pretty comfortably.
So Colin, would you agree with what Stuart said? You know, these two games now are huge for the season and huge for Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that Wilson took 6 sacks is a huge issue for the Jets as well for week 3, and obviously Becton going down there. So you're kind of looking at these two together, young teams. I think the Jets have a much better head coach in Robert Saleh, certainly. But they've had a number of really bad injuries, but they have to do a better job of protecting Wilson. But yeah, you're looking at them going, yeah, these are both, you know, eminently winnable games. You really should be looking at 3-0, but you have to show up, because we talked last year that the Jets being historically bad, and yet, you know, they still won a couple of games. So if you don't show up, tuned in, then yeah, they're all professional athletes. The gap between these guys, you know, is minute. It is being dialed in. It is concentration. And so it's important that the Broncos treat it seriously, that they don't think they've won it without doing the job. But there should be enough experience in that team to know not to do that. But I do think, look, at this point, yeah, that's what you should be looking at 3-0 if we do our job.
I think as well, Colm, another point is road games with those early kickoffs for us are notoriously difficult. But if we're gonna sort of knock that, you know, you couldn't really ask for much better as a road game early kickoff from the Jaguars, because you know they don't have much. This is not early kickoff against the Steelers. This is not, you know, going to Tampa Bay. This is the Jaguars. We really should be winning this, and I think we will.
Yeah, I like, you know, time will tell if Urban Meyer's on the sidelines on Sunday, but Tony Khan is notorious for throwing money and stuff, and just trying to throw and, I guess, paint over cracks. He's done a very good job with the AEW, but I can't see their side of accounts. So, you know, you'd have to wonder, boys, what's going on down there. And there is no doubt that a guy like Trevor Lawrence has got talent. We've seen that on Sunday in splurts with some of the passes he was making, some plays he was making. But he still threw, what, like 2 or 3 picks? So I think that's going to be a massive hope for us on Sunday. But, you know, sure, just start with yourself. You know, you mentioned 10 points there. What's your score prediction for this Sunday and why?
I would be confident that we'll be winning this 34-17, something in and around that. Yeah, I think we can beat these guys by 2 touchdowns. You know, and I think, to be honest, anything between 10 and 17 points is a reasonably comfortable performance, especially when you've got a defense as good as ours. I mean, I know some people are going, oh, we shouldn't have given up a garbage time touchdown against the Giants. That stuff doesn't really bother me. It's what you do in the previous sort of 55 minutes that counts. So, yeah, I mean, I think this will be, apart from the game against maybe the Jets, this should probably be our easiest game of the season, I think.
Colm, what do you think?
I'd be actually very similar to Stuart. I think we go over 30 points in this game. I would say 34 to even 37. Yeah, I would say the Jags will they'll 17 seems reasonable for them, because I do think Lawrence will continue to grow into the league. Yes, there will be picks, but he is capable of making throws that you can't really defend against, no matter how good you are. And if he throws the ball enough, there will always be those throws. And they have a couple of playmakers, you know, on that team who are capable of getting open, capable of making plays. So I think they'll score, but I could see us definitely scoring 34 to 37. You know, this could be very similar to the Jets game in some ways last year, but we really should be looking to, you know, spread it out, get people involved. You'd like to see Cortland Sutton a little bit more involved, obviously coming back off a serious injury, but I'm excited about our two running backs as well in this game.
I'm going to go for something similar to Stuart, and I guess something similar to Colm. I'm going to go for 34-24. I think the Jags will put up some points, but I think as long as we can get a strong start, there's no reason why we can't pick up more points in the game. I do think the defense will be more of a factor. I think Lawrence will throw 2 or 3 picks again, and I'd like to see a pick 6 or 2, preferably one from Patrick Surtain the third. But I think our offense will be too much for this team. And if we do go 2-0, it'll be such a positive start to the season. And we can sit back this time next week and look ahead to the Jets, boys. But yeah, the game, on Sunday. Looking forward to 6 p.m. kickoff in Ireland. Any final thoughts, boys, or are you happy enough?
I think, you know, any time that, you know, you win and you're happy with both how your offense performed, your defense performed, and the fact that for the Broncos, our special teams did fine. We're not saying about anything bad on special teams. You know, it was a very good weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lads, look, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure chatting these after a big win and a big game ahead. And looking forward to the game this weekend. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks to everybody listening on the Mile High Report. Please give us a review as well. If you can, retweet whatever on social media. And I'll chat to you lads next week after the game against the Jags. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos. Go Broncos.